welcome to the Badass Breastfeeding Podcast. This is Diane, your lactation consultant.
And this is Abby, the Badass Breastfeeder. And today's episode is brought to you by Peapod Mats, your ultimate solution for mess-free nights. This is an awesome mat for bedwetting and incontinence that we will hear more about later. But I also love it. If you heard the last episode, me raving about it. But for now, you can head to badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com to see our entire sponsor page. And if you ever need anything, check out the businesses there because they make this podcast possible. And while you're there, scroll down and enter your email address and we'll send you episodes straight to your inbox every week. And we are on Patreon and we would hope to see you over there while we are doing all of our fun things. We have a Zoom hangout coming up. So if you come over there soon, you'll be able to join in on that, where we just hang out and talk about things, share advice, share stories. And we have extra episodes and mini podcasts and Revolution Parenting episodes. And please join us there. You can click the link, the top link in the show notes under this episode, wherever you're listening from. And we're still hosting our ongoing giveaway for people who leave reviews or stars or whatever you can do on any of the apps that you're listening from. Send a screenshot of that along with your mailing address, and we will send you a goodie bag of stickers and thank you for nursing in public cards. Email that to badassbreastfeedingpodcast@gmail.com. And now Diane has our review of the week.
And this comes from somebody who listened almost every episode while I was pregnant and still continue listening now that my baby is 8 weeks old. And this was a few weeks ago. It helped me feel so much more confident in my breastfeeding journey. And so far, we are going strong. So congratulations to you. And I don't know how, like, we get a lot of reviews where people say, I've listened to every single episode.
I know.
God bless you.
I could not listen to all that. Of anybody. Especially not me.
Like, that's a lot of episodes. So thank you so much for being so dedicated. And I'm so glad that you felt confident going into your journey. That's amazing.
What is it? It's like 350 or
something like that. It's a lot of episodes.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah.
I should go back and listen to some of those early ones.
Oh my God.
Remember the sound?
Oh,
all the drama.
Guys, we were so bad in the beginning.
I know. Thank you. It was all you guys telling us that the sound sounded like shit. That made us figure out why.
Yeah,
remember we found out that a couple of the things that were happening were like really small things that I'm almost embarrassed to say.
I know. We learned a lot doing this podcast because you guys would always like let us know like it didn't sound good or whatever.
Okay, I was really interested in the number of episodes. So the last episode that went up was number 372.
Wow. It's a lot of episodes.
That is, that's a lot.
For somebody to be listening to all of them. Thank you.
Oh my God.
Anybody that's out there listening to all of our episodes, you're amazing. That is dedicated and we appreciate you so much.
Yeah, and that's a lot. If you come across anything that you're like, oh, I would love to hear more about this or... you haven't talked much about this, please let us know because we have done 372 episodes and we are constantly trying to find material to cover.
Yeah. So definitely let us know if you think of something or you just want us to redo another episode.
Yeah, that's true. We can redo old ones.
Yeah, we can. I had somebody recently that wanted us to redo an episode, wanted us to redo Mom Guilt. Mom Guilt.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was an old one. And, Mom Guilt's still going strong. So.
Oh, yeah. We haven't tackled that problem yet.
I know. Thought we fixed it last time around.
I thought
around.
We fixed it with that episode. I guess not.
we'll have to.
Can always talk about that one.
But today we're doing one that we've done a few episodes on, and this never gets old either.
Yeah, and I was surprised to see the last time that we did it was a while ago.
Yeah, it's been a few years since we talked about boundaries.
Yeah, and boundaries are just, it's something that is so hard to wrap your brain around because you spend so much time listening, if you're listening to our podcast or listening to, hopefully you're surrounded by good information, which is breastfeed on demand. And just breastfeed on demand. When in doubt, whip it out. Just be nursing all the time. And then you get to a point where you're like, oh, I can't, you know, I'm struggling or whatever. And then we're like, oh, boundaries. So it's like, wait. It's just like a weird transition in thinking. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time somebody brought up boundaries to me, somebody had to bring it up to me because I didn't know about it. I think Exley had already been born and I was just like really struggling with Jack tandem nursing. And a friend of mine was like, oh, maybe it's time for some boundaries or whatever. And I was like, what? Because not only did breastfeeding boundaries blow my mind, I was just like, boundaries? What do right? you mean?
Yeah.
Like, especially as like, I don't know, just
as a parent.
Parent or people living in this world, like maybe especially as a woman, you're not taught, like you don't have boundaries.
Right.
You're just supposed to just deal with it. It being whatever comes up. So the whole idea of like creating like physical and emotional boundaries for yourself is like, that's usually new when you get to this point.
Yeah. Nobody ever mentioned boundaries to me.
Nobody mentioned boundaries to me growing up. Nobody nope. taught me how to like create physical boundaries with my body, with people. Emotional boundaries with, you know, in relationships, whether they're romantic relationships or friendships or whatever. No.
Right. Right. Nobody said anything.
I had no idea that I could just create boundaries, like create a comfort zone for myself and protect it. That was new.
Yeah, no, I have no idea. I had no idea. And I still, like, I really struggle with boundaries.
Totally.
A lot. Like, I could use an episode on boundaries myself because I really struggle with boundaries.
Yeah.
And, you know, even, like, my therapist is like, you know, you can set some boundaries with, you know, because with working from home. And the kids yeah. would, when I first started working from home, the kids would always be like, Mom, you know, like whatever, and stop and talk to me and all this stuff. And she's like, you can set boundaries, you know. And I'm like, oh, no, I can't. I don't want them to stop coming in and talking to me, you know.
Right.
Like, you don't want to send that message that they're not wanted.
That's the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. We're taught, like, we get it in our heads that if we set boundaries, that we'll lose these relationships.
Right.
That's the message that we all end up with. So it's like, no, I don't want to say no to him. He might not like me anymore. I don't want right. to say no to my friend. They might not want to be my friend anymore.
They might not ask me again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then, of course, it comes out with your child. You're like, I don't want to say no to this child. What if they get like mad at me? And they will. They will.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
They will get mad at you.
So boundaries, like a couple of kind of things starting off. Boundaries are something that you will think about after your baby turns one. Because before that, breast milk is their primary source of nutrition, and it's very important for your milk supply, and it's very important for their growth, and it's important for them to have primarily breast milk. But after they turn one, and like on their first birthday, like honestly, I think of 1-year-old baby as a baby.
Oh yeah, they're still babies.
So I think probably like a year and a half is like a good time. If you have a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old who's really struggling, like you are good to go. If you have a 9-month-old that you're like, oh, I really need, you know, some space for my body, like that's a little trickier because that's just, they need to have the breast milk. Do you have anything to say about that?
No, I agree with you.
Okay. So yeah. Yeah, I think that that's, you know, of course, that doesn't mean that you can't like take a break, you know, if you need to take a break, if you need somebody to watch the baby for a while, if you need to, you know, these kinds of things are obviously normal the whole entire time. But as far as like taking nursing sessions away, shortening nursing sessions, like that kind of thing is something that you really want to wait until after they're one, maybe closer to 1.5. So that's the first thing. And then there's like all kinds of things that you are going to start thinking about. You want to start thinking about what is like, what is the least. So this is what I hear. I wonder if I have this message here. I don't know if I still have it, but somebody sent a message saying like that her baby was 19 months old and that she was just really struggling. And, you know, really it was having these feelings of like, you know, I want my body back. I want, you know, I want some space. I feel touched out. Maybe you're pregnant and you have nursing aversion, or you have, you're just kind of like, okay, this is like enough already. And these kinds of feelings are so, so normal. They are just really, really normal. Yeah, I don't have the message, but it's basically that. And so you are going to, sometimes people, they'll message us and they'll be like, I need to wean. I can't take it anymore. I need to wean. And so people think of boundaries and weaning as two different things, but really boundaries can be how you start the weaning process. If you are wanting to head that road, if you don't want to wean and you just want a little bit of space and a little bit of more structure than the kind of on-demand thing, then you can just implement the boundaries. And when you have a kind of a nursing schedule that you are happy with, then you can just stop there and continue with that. Like I, you know, with my kids, like I would do a lot of like daytime boundaries and then like nurse them to sleep. And so when you're thinking about, when you're thinking about nursing, first thing you're going to think about is like, okay, what is the first nursing session that we can start to practice like some limitations on? And so that's going to be the one, it's not going to be the one that puts them to sleep. That's a very important one. I would suggest starting with boundaries during the day and not at night. Mm-hmm. So leave the nighttime ones alone, probably the wake up one. Is there one in the afternoon that's just kind of like, you feel like, I, you know, we could just start with this one. Usually like probably sometime in the afternoon.
Yeah. Middle of the day. Or
yeah. Just kind of a middle of the day kind of like, when they're kind of latched on and hanging around there and you can tell that they're just hanging on. You all know what I mean. When they're just like hanging there, they're latched on, but they're looking around, they're playing with their foot, they're playing with your hair. And you're like, all right, man, let's just cut this short. So you could start with that and pick that one. And what you can do is you can just start to give some directions and you can pick whatever works for you. You can say, okay, we're going to sing the ABCs. And when I'm done, we're going to rock together. Or let's sing our favorite song and then we'll have a snack. And so you're going to start by kind of putting some sort of, don't say like a minute because they don't know what that means. But just like a song, like the ABCs or whatever your favorite song is, or maybe a little, maybe a book, you know, a short book that you have that you can read. And then you're going to say, okay, now we're done. We're done with milkies or booby or whatever you call it. And probably for a long time, this is going to make them very angry. And that's okay. And this is what stops people from implementing boundaries a lot is how their child reacts to that. Because they're not happy about it. and they're going to be very mad and they're going to cry and they're going to do all of these things. And that's okay. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is the step. This is part of it. Of them, you know, and this is all going to be a learning process for the rest of their life as well, right? They're going to learn like, oh, I don't just have endless access to all the people in my life all the time. You know, like I'm a separate person from my parent. And we, you know, need to have an understanding of when I'm allowed to have access to that person. So they're going to be really upset, but that's okay. And you're going to be there. You're going to, you know, you're going to rock them. You're going to talk calmly to them. You're going to do all these things, try to distract them. And you're going to not give in.
That's the hardest part of boundaries, mm-hmm. is not giving in.
It's just horrible. And I remember this. And one thing I regret a lot about my kids is waiting until Exley, I mean, I do it on purpose. I didn't know, but I didn't start working on boundaries with Jack until Exley was born. And I wish I had done it while I was pregnant, because then he had to deal with a new sibling and being limited from breastfeeding. And so that was really just like a double whammy. So that was very difficult. And I was also exhausted from just having a new baby. And so sometimes I would give in and it was not good. And Josh would get really mad. He was like, oh, this is not working if you give in. So yeah, not giving in is going to be the hardest part. And watching your child literally melt down is going to be awful. There's no way around it. We will talk more, and we're going to get more into it after we take a break. So there's more. There's definitely more.
Yeah.
I'm not ending it just on like, it's going to be horrible. Bye.
Good luck to you. Bye. Yeah.
We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Peapod Mats, your ultimate solution for mess-free nights. Say goodbye to troublesome milk puddles with our 100% leak-proof and super absorbent mats. While they were originally designed for bedwetting and incontinence, Peapod Mats are an absolute game changer for breastfeeders and parents of young children. Now cleaning your leaky mess from your breasts, or from being sick, or from leaky diapers, all of that is a breeze now. Peapod mats are reusable up to 500 plus washes. So they're going to end up being way cheaper than buying those $10 or $20 plastic protectors that you need to replace a lot. No more shifting or fussing around at night with the mat. The Peapod mats stay in place without any flaps, straps, Velcro, no tucking or wrapping around the mattress. The Peapod mats are breathable, so they adjust to the perfect temperature. Peapod mats are PFAS, PVC, phthalates, vinyl, and latex-free with a TPU waterproof coating that's a greener solution for the environment. Peapod mats are hassle-free with no special washing instructions. You just toss it in with your regular wash and dry cycles. Peapod mat transitions right into potty training, like we talked about, and beyond. I still use mine. And my kids are way past this. Like we have, when we're camping or when someone is sick and barfing in the bed, you just put it down and you don't have to worry about constantly changing the whole entire bedding. So head to peapodmats.com. That's PEAPODMATS.com and use code BADASS for 15% off of your purchase. Now you need to go and do this, because the code is going to end on March 10th. This isn't one of those infinity codes. Go ahead and use it. You're not going to regret it. It'll be with you for, I mean, they say 500 plus washes. I honestly haven't counted how many times I've washed this. It's just still, it's just around. I use it all the time. So today's sponsors and their promo codes can be found in the show notes under this episode at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com or wherever you're listening from. And at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com, you will find all of our other episodes and information about scheduling your very own one-on-one online lactation consultation with Diane. So boundaries. Yeah, it's really hard. And some days, I mean, like I had a friend one time who was like, oh yeah, I just bought like a bunch of those little oranges. And every time she wanted to nurse, I would give her an orange and that was it. And that's like a really magical situation that I hope for you. But that is not how it went down with me. My kids were not, well, actually just kind of weaned on his own. But Jack, man, he did not just simply take an orange and walk away. So, okay. So we've got this session that we're singing to, we're ending it and we're unlatching and we're going to see how they do with that. They might be really upset. They might be okay with, you know, a distraction, like, a snack. This is another one of the big things is getting new food into the house. Something fun, something sweet, something they've never had before. I remember we had those little Annie's bunny gummies.
Oh, the gummies.
The mm-hmm. gummy bear things. I mean, those were fantastic because you just give it to them. Just do it. It's fine. Like, it's fine. And people are mm-hmm. like, oh my God, I don't want to give them. No, just do it. They're going to be fine and you're going to get what you want. You're going to be able to get some space and it's totally fine. And maybe, you know, whatever, try some fruit that they've never had before. Try, you know, just try different things. And just as a distraction where they can have something sweet in their mouth, something new that they've never seen before, which is going to be attractive to them. And my other suggestion, I have a few, is if you have like a favorite nursing place, like if you have a nursing station, you know, a chair or a recliner or something that you always nurse in, like rearrange the furniture. If you have like, you know, just mess it up, get rid of it, put the chair in a different spot. Move things around, shift things so that kind of that spot that's associated with nursing is not there anymore. And also get moving, like just start doing things. If there's a nursing session that you are trying to limit, you know, do the thing with the singing and the, you know, all of that, then ending the session, ending it yourself so that they can also get comfortable with you initiating the ending of the nursing session. And then go do something. Plan a walk. Take the dog out. Go have a play date. Go somewhere. Just go so that there's, you know, again, another distraction. If you're just laying around in your nursing chair and saying no, that's just going to be so much harder because they associate all of that with nursing. And, you know, when I, you know, so this is not going to be possible for everybody. So when Exley was born and I was trying to do all this stuff with Jack, creating these boundaries, my husband was also on paternity leave. So he was there to like take Jack away and do something fun. Go get a cookie at Starbucks. Go do something. Which was great. It was also really hard when he went back because we'd kind of gotten into a rhythm. But if you can get others involved, you know, start having grandma come by. Start having, you know, just kind of get other people involved. If you have other people, I realize that there are so many people that don't have other people. But if you can, then do it. Also come up with a catchphrase, like something like, you know, I don't know, boobies are sleeping. you know, boobies are resting now, or, you know, nurses, I don't know, whatever you call it, you know, everybody's got their silly names for it. We always called it boobie, which I realize now is just so cringe, but whatever, it just happened. So just come up with something like, you know, they're sleeping, they're resting, or, you know, something like that where you can say something, not a long explanation, because, you know, we're talking about a 1-2-year-old child who doesn't really know what you're saying, but they might understand like sleeping or resting. And so when you have this nursing session that you are creating these limits around, once you get comfortable with that, once you kind of feel like you've created a new rhythm with that, then you can either just eliminate that session. If you've come up with you've decided that there's something that you do that afternoon instead of nursing. Like if you're having, you know, a snack, a new fun snack, or you go out and do something, see if you can just completely eliminate that nursing session after you've created this rhythm around, you know, the distraction of it. And then you can move on to another nursing session, whatever the second least important one is, maybe the, you know, I don't know, late morning or something like that. Just pick another one and then do the same thing. And it sounds like it's very busy, and it is. It's really hard to create these boundaries, because basically when you're creating boundaries, you are creating an entirely new normal. You know, things are going to be different. You're going to be creating all new structure around your day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just a matter of like, I'm just going to not do it anymore, and then things are going to stay the same, and then everyone's just going to agree to like not nurse as much. That's not, it's going to be work. You got to put in like the work and the structure to make it happen. And it can happen. It really, really can. But it takes some time. And if you are looking to wean completely, then you would just continue on with what we're talking about with all of the nursing sessions. And nighttime is much more complicated. That's kind of a whole different conversation. We did an episode on night weaning once.
Yeah,
we talked about how hard it is the whole time, and I don't know, a couple people didn't really like that. Yeah, night weaning to me just seems like so hard that I don't know. It's just so hard. But the daytime, creating boundaries in the daytime is where you can start. And when you are more comfortable, because you are the one who's going to have to get comfortable with it. Your baby's going to do whatever they're doing. They're going to be upset. They're going to be whatever. They're going to be upset regardless. You know, if they're not upset about this, if they weren't breastfeeding, they'd be upset about something else. So you're the one who's going to have to adjust to having this child melting down, and you're going to have to take some deep breaths and just tell them that you're there and everything's okay. Maybe go, I mean, I don't want to like encourage everybody to like constantly have to go out and buy stuff, but like maybe you have like a little stuffed animal or something that's like, you know, we'll sing the ABCs and then we'll snuggle, you know, this little koala bear or whatever it is that you get. And just you're creating these new associations and new connections and new habits around your day. So I think that's pretty much what I have.
I was wondering though, so do you ever notice with your kids now that they're older, do you ever notice if they put up boundaries around things?
Yeah. Yeah, because I think that I think now that I learned about it and learned through, I actually learned with them, you know, creating those boundaries. So we talk about that a lot and they see me doing it. And so they know that they can do it because it's being modeled for them.
Yeah. I notice it with my daughter. I do see that she is good with that kind of stuff. Especially like when it comes to her work or, you know, things like that. She's pretty good with like saying what she wants and making sure that she doesn't, you know, she doesn't go overboard with things. She
doesn't get taken advantage of?
Yeah, she doesn't get taken advantage of. Which is, I have a funny story about that, actually. For her.
Do tell.
And do tell. So so she works for somebody who does concessions. So she does concessions and, you know, for concerts and things like that. And one of the things that they do concessions for is during the summer, they have training camp for the Buffalo Bills at a college near us. So the Buffalo Bills come and they do their training camp there and it's like open to the public so people can come and watch and everything. So she's there and she does concessions and they sell like hot dogs and sodas and all that stuff. So last summer, one of the Buffalo Bills, one of the big names, his name is Stephon Diggs. He's like this big receiver or something like that. He's like one of the major players. Yeah. I should know better, but I don't. And
I don't either.
He came up to get a hot dog. So she sells him a hot dog or gives him or sells it, whatever. I don't know if they're allowed to just have it. And he goes, well, can I have mustard on it? And she handed him a couple packs of mustard and sent him on his way. And I'm like, you didn't put, she goes, I do not have time. I don't care who he is. And he should not be exercising his fame that way. I do not have time to be putting mustard on somebody else's hot dog for them.
Good. Yeah.
And I'm like, good for you. Because I would have been like, oh, yeah, of course I'll put your mustard on your hot dog for you. You know, but she is like, she's really good with being like, you know, this is my role. This is your role. And
yeah,
that's the end of it.
Well, that's so lame to ask somebody to put hot mustard, unless like the mustard pump is behind the counter.
Yeah, no.
Which it's probably not.
No.
Like, unless you're putting mustard on hot dogs for everybody, why would you even ask somebody to do that, especially this young girl?
Ugh. Right, because you make millions of dollars and you can do that.
That's so... Ugh.
But she wasn't followed for it. So, good. Yeah, no, but that's pretty much how she is with people. Like, she's got her, you know, she does have her boundaries.
Yeah.
Which is really good, because then people aren't walking all over her.
Yes. Yes.
Which I never had when I was her age.
Mm-mm. No, people walked on me all the way until that time when Exley was born. Yes.
Yeah. Boundaries are important.
Constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't say no. I would never say no. I would never say no to anything.
Oh, no. Mm-mm. Me neither. No boundaries whatsoever.
No, yeah. I had never even heard of, I mean, I was just like, the whole concept of boundaries blew my mind.
Yeah.
And I was, what, 38?
That's sad. And I mean, this is really good. Like, if you're listening, this doesn't have to even just have to do with this. It could do with, like, you know, or maybe you are doing it and you don't realize it. You know, boundaries around family members, boundaries around
your partner,
friends, your partner. You know, like, we've had Patreon members that we've discussed boundaries around their friends because their friends aren't supportive with things that they're doing. So we talk about those boundaries and, like, it doesn't have to do just with this. This could be something in your life where you don't even realize how much it plays a role.
Yeah, well, but and I think this is how we end up getting into this place that we're in where we're doing absolutely everything, right? Because it's just like we've always said yes. And society just overall is like, well, you know, that's the, you know, primary caregiver's responsibility. So, you know, you're just supposed to do that. You're supposed to do everything. And you're not supposed to say no.
Right.
It's like, well, how can you be saying no to your child? How can you be saying no to your partner? Well, because people need to be told no sometimes.
Exactly. And that's okay.
Yes. It's good. People should be saying no. Yeah. And you're basically modeling this for your child and setting them up for, you know, lifelong success. So, yeah.
So that's it.
That's the talk on boundaries. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.